This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're back with hour number two of Ron Segi Today, live all across the USA and around the world, and on Armed Forces Radio. My first guest is Richard Hutchinson. He's been with us before. He's a great author, and he's penned a book about Abraham Lincoln's assassination. Now, before you say anything, I know you're probably thinking, is that possible? Is there anything we don't know about that assassination? Well, he's uncovered some new material. It's in the book. We'll be chatting about it. Then a beautiful lady, both inside and out, from Big Valley Dynasty and a slew of other things, Linda Evans will be on the program. And Kyle Stumpenhorst will be here talking about something that we chatted with John Ratzenberger a couple of months back, and that is the importance of having tradesmen in our society. And that's all coming up this hour with Ron Segi Today. We're going to pause only momentarily. We'll be back with our second hour and that first guest on that second hour, Richard Hutchinson.
I used to hate the worn-out plastic mat under my office chair. It dented and cracked, and it was uncomfortable to roll on. And then I found the premium alternative, a glass chair mat by Vitraza. I liked it so much, I bought the company. I'm George Pardo, president of Vitraza. Our glass chair mats are made of super strong glass and protected with a nanotech coating, so you'll always get a smooth, easy glide. And they're beautiful. Tired of replacing plastic mats? I promise, this is your last chair mat. We give you a lifetime warranty. Comfort, style, durability. A Vitraza glass chair mat will completely transform your workspace, home office, or office. Order online at Vitraza.com. That's V-I-T-R-A-Z-Z-A.com. We stock 18 popular glass chair mat sizes, and shipping is free. Get the look you deserve and get 10% off any glass chair mat with promo code George at Vitraza.com.
Working from home? I'm Chad Dodd, veterinarian and consultant to Limp Bells. Here's some tips for keeping your dog fit while staying at home. Find 15 minutes twice a day and walk your pet at a decent pace around your place. Play hide and seek by hiding some kibble or favorite toys and letting your dog find them. If you have stairs and your dog is mobile, walk up and down twice a day for 5 to 10 minutes. Or better yet, try a power walk on your terrace or backyard for some fresh air. There are more helpful pet care tips at youmove.com, spelled youmove.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Phil. The new coronavirus called COVID-19 is spreading in China and beyond. While CDC is working to stop the spread of the virus, we can all play a role in stopping this deadly disease. The CDC Foundation is a nonprofit organization supporting emergency response efforts in the United States and around the world. To get updates and learn how to protect friends and loved ones, find out how to help by going to cdcfoundation.org.
Nationwide and around the world, it is Ron Segi Today. Well, if anyone's listened to me for any length of time, you know that I'm a presidential buff when it comes to history of presidents throughout our entire democracy. Our next guest is a very interesting gentleman. He is an award-winning writer, speaker, and author of numerous books of popular history. Some include The Dawn of Christianity, When in Rome, and The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Bible. His latest effort is out right now. It's called What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. Comedians always, when they joke about the Lincoln assassination and they don't get a laugh from the audience, the immediate response from the comedian is, maybe it's too early. Well, apparently it's never too late to talk about this. Joining us right now is Robert Hutchinson. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
What really happened, the Lincoln assassination? This is a question that I thought, with all of my studies, we had expired everything. But in this book, you really reveal some things that maybe were supposedly common knowledge that really wasn't. So from your perspective, how did you investigate this, and what did you find different?
Well, let me just give you a little background on it. We pitched a series to Regnery called What Really Happened, and the whole idea was to do a series of books that told people in kind of a journalistic, exciting way what really happened behind some of the key events in history, and that cut through all of the speculations and the controversies and the scholarly controversies and so on, and just told the story based on the facts that we actually know. And the problem with a lot of the assassination books, especially the assassination of Kennedy, but also of Lincoln, is, first of all, they're 800-page books. There's a lot of scholarly debates, you know, whether this happened or that happened. And usually there's a really strong point of view, meaning one, the author wants to stake out a position that's a little contrarian. For example, a lot of the writers will say, you know, the Confederacy was involved in the assassination, even though the evidence isn't strong enough to actually make that statement. So I wanted to put those sort of hypotheses and speculations aside and just stick with what we actually know, go back to the original sources, go back to the eyewitness testimony of the people that were actually there, and retell the story in as exciting a way as I can, as if you were there or just reading it right after the events, and tell people what actually happened. And that's kind of the origin of this. And I was attracted to the Lincoln assassination precisely because I just, it seemed to resonate so much with our own time. I mean, Republicans and Democrats were fighting back then. They've been fighting ever since. The country was divided into literally red states and blue states. You know, there was a plague. Abraham Lincoln's beloved son, Willie, died of typhoid fever right after he moved into the White House. So much of the story resonates with our own time, you know, the political polarization of today. Lincoln was despised by half the country. The things the newspaper said about Lincoln seem like what they say about Trump is no big deal. So for all those reasons, I decided that the first book in the What Really Happened series would be the Lincoln assassination.
You know, it's amazing when you talk about the people that disliked him. You know, we talk about the fake news media today with the Trump administration, but, you know, he would put people in jail, journalists that weren't on his side. So he was a pretty tough cookie. But, you know, when we talk about assassinations of presidents, you know, you're right. We do concentrate on Kennedy and Lincoln. Some people may not even know there were two other presidents that were assassinated, and nothing's ever written about them.
Yes, that's true. That's they get short shrift, but and actually I believe that Robert Lincoln, the president's son, was president at least one of the assassination attempts.
Right.
So.
Okay, so let's go down some of these myths. All right, let's take, for example, did the Confederacy have a hand in the assassination plot, which was a conspiracy theory? When I think about this, it so correlates with the Kennedy assassination. So what's the truth on that, Richard?
Well, you know, there's evidence in both directions, and that's what's so intriguing about this. Booth was certainly aided by some Confederate couriers and sympathizers like John Surratt Jr. and Thomas Harbin and so on. He did meet with Confederate agents when he had a trip to Montreal, and he was introduced to Confederate agents in Maryland. But on the other hand, most of the time it seemed that Booth had no idea what he was doing. His various attempts to kidnap Lincoln, because that was what a lot of people don't realize, is that Booth's original plan had been to kidnap President Lincoln, whisk him off to Richmond, to the capital of the Confederacy, and then use him as a hostage to negotiate for the release of badly needed Confederate troops so that the Confederacy could continue to fight. But his attempts to actually pull off this kidnapping were so bungled and so amateurish that I would say the majority of historians who've really investigated this have decided that the Confederacy may have known about it, but they didn't have an active hand in actually plotting and trying to carry it off. So that's sort of my point of view, because basically Booth was inept. He frequently didn't even know where Lincoln was going to be. He would set up a kidnapping. He'd get his entire gang together. They were going to kidnap him on such and such day, and Lincoln didn't even show up the place where he was supposed to be. And that happened repeatedly. So he was not a field agent. He had no military training whatsoever. He had never seen a day in combat at all, even though he'd served 2 weeks with the Richmond Grays during the execution of John Brown. So I do not believe that the Confederate government was actively involved in the plot.
It's amazing you say that, because that is one of the theories that, again, reflects the research of the Kennedy assassination. Now let's go back to the part where today A president can't walk in his own hallways without having 42 police officers and Secret Service around. The question becomes why it's easy for Booth to enter the president's box at Ford Theater. Now, my belief has always been twofold. First of all, he got in because he was very well known and everybody knew who he was, and certainly the last thing on the minds of the ownership of the Ford Theater was this guy's going to assassinate the president. Secondly, his guard was actually, from what I understand, not guarding the booth. He actually went to a bar next door to have some drinks, so it left John Wilkes Booth complete access to the booth that he entered and shot the president in.
Yeah, that's correct, although not entirely. There was a guard there. The guy who was supposed to be on duty was John Parker.
Right.
He was a notorious drunk. He was last seen next door, but technically he wasn't supposed to be sitting outside the hallway. That wasn't his post. Lincoln likely told him he can go watch the play somewhere else. But there was a man there who was guarding the door, so to speak. He wasn't a guard. He wasn't a policeman. He was Charles Forbes, who was Lincoln's personal assistant, I guess you'd say, kind of babysitter and all-around helper. And Booth came up to him, and he said, you know, what do you want? And Booth reached into his pocket, and he produced a calling card. We think it was a calling card of a senator, and then said, I need to speak to the president. And Forbes said, okay, let him in. In his defense, two other people had been there in the previous hour, messengers and so on. One was a journalist, and both had been allowed in without incident. So it wasn't unusual for people to do this, but somebody should have stopped Booth. There's no question. And it was a different era. President Lincoln used to ride his horse in his carriage around, unguarded, around Washington sometimes at late at night. The previous year, he'd had his famous hat shot off his head by a attempted assassin, and from that point on, he had a military escort wherever he went in an official capacity. Except when he went to the theater, he insisted on just having a police bodyguard, one guy, and that guy was not at his post, I guess you could say.
They also say, did he have premonitions of his own death? Didn't he dream of seeing himself in the East Room laid out?
Yeah, that was the fun part of this book, is going back and looking at the kind of the urban legends and the myths that have developed over the years. That story is in almost every single book
right.
on the assassination, and is almost certainly not true. It was only one person who wrote 40 years after the events. He claimed that Lincoln had told him about this dream, that Lincoln supposedly had woken up in the middle of the night and thought he had gone downstairs and seen himself lying in state in a casket, and that's when he knew he was going to be killed. His wife never reported that story. His secretaries, with whom he worked every single day, never reported that story. They talked about a lot of other dreams that Lincoln had. Lincoln had lots of dreams, and he believed in paying attention to his dreams. His cabinet members had heard his dreams. No one else ever heard about that, except 40 years after the assassination, one guy, Marshall, a U.S. Marshal, claimed that Lincoln had told him this story decades earlier. So most people don't think that actually happened. And that's part of the thing about the assassination, is the story kind of grows in the telling. And what's fun when you do a book like this is to go back to the original sources, go back to the original eyewitness accounts and read what they say, usually far more interesting.
We're going to pause for a second. Our guest is Robert Hutchinson. His new book is out right now, What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. It's fascinating to go back to something that was so vivid in the history of this country and is so remembered, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. As we were discussing, Lincoln and Kennedy were both shot. People don't remember that McKinley and Garfield were shot too. And there's more to come with Ron Sedgie today.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We're back live nationwide and around the world. It's Ron Seggi today. Our guest has been nice enough to stay with us for another segment. Robert Hutchinson is his name. He has a book out right now called What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. Abraham Lincoln's final day on Earth was one of his happiest days. He had a lot of plans for the future. He took a buggy ride with his wife Mary Todd Lincoln and was all excited about the future, about the reconstruction of the country, and also plans after he got out of the office to go to Europe, which he had never done before. True or fiction?
Yes, absolutely true. Actually, he was planning to go to Palestine and see Jerusalem. One of the little-known facts about Lincoln was he wasn't what you'd call a conventional Christian, but he was a daily Bible reader, and he believed in God, and he wanted to go to Palestine and see Jerusalem, and he also wanted to go to California. He thought that sounded fun. They could maybe stay out there for a while. It is absolutely true that Abraham Lincoln died a happy man. It was probably the happiest day of his life since the war began. Surrender of Lee's army had only occurred a week earlier. His son had just come back that day, his son Robert, and reported his eyewitness report of seeing the surrender. Everyone knew the war was over, effectively over. All of Washington, D.C. was celebrating. They had special, they called it the Grand Illumination. They were lighting up all the buildings at night. People were flooding into D.C., and even though it was the somber Holy Week, the end of Lent and so on, a drunken party, basically. The whole place was in a raucous mood. And everybody who met Lincoln commented on how he looked so much better. He had combed his hair. He was standing up straight and smiling and so on. And he had a great time at the theater. And so he had accomplished what he had set out to do, which was to save the Union. That was his life's purpose. And he had seen it through. And he was dreaming of the future. And it was a tragedy what happened. But at least you could say that Lincoln died a happy man, having achieved what he set out to do.
How did John Wilkes Booth evade this manhunt? He did go across the bridge after the city was shut down. I don't know how he got through it. But then, you know, he was on the run for 2 weeks before he was caught. And who gave the order to shoot him, and what happened to his body?
Yeah, all very, very interesting. Actually, that's one of the most fascinating parts of the story. He knew where he was going because he had been trying to do this kidnapping plot. So he did know his basic route. He had broken his leg from the fall when he leaped onto the stage, and he got his leg fixed by Dr. Mudd and all that. And then he was planning on just trying to go for it and just try and beat the posses out of of the area, but he met a very smart Confederate smuggler by the name of Thomas Jones. And we didn't find out how this happened until 20 years after the assassination. Nobody knew how he did it because he literally seemed to vanish into thin air. The Union troops, they were searching every farmhouse, every barn, every road. They didn't care about civil liberties or anything like that. They were kicking down doorways. He would have been caught instantly. But this guy said, look, your only chance is to lie down and hide in place in this pine thicket. Lie on the cold, wet ground. Do not start a fire. I will bring you food and newspapers, because Booth wanted to read his reviews, and just lie low until they give up and move on. And that's exactly what happened. This guy brought food every single day, and Booth just lay on the ground miserable in the cold, wet for 5 days and five nights, and eventually the Union troops heard a report that he had been seen in Virginia, and they all left. And that was when he was able to get in a rowboat, which Thomas Jones provided him, and it took him 2 days to do it, but he managed to cross the Potomac, which is a gigantic river, if people don't know that. Very difficult thing to do, but he finally got over to Virginia. The only reason he was caught was there was a false report that he had been sighted at a certain place in Virginia, and detectives heard about this in Washington, D.C., and just by coincidence, they set out with a posse to go to on this false report, but it just by accident happened to be where he actually was, and that's how they caught him.
He actually thought he was going to be a hero for this. He was shocked that the country was very up in arms after what he did. What about the accomplices? He did have accomplices. I mean, this was something designed to take out Seward and to take out the vice president. So there was other people involved. They just were unsuccessful in their job that they were given.
There were. He actually had a much bigger group. I mean, it could have been between two dozen up to 50 people were involved in the actual kidnapping plot. But as soon as they got wind, or began to suspect that Booth was changing his plans and might be thinking about shooting Lincoln instead of kidnapping him, all those people dropped out.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a very contentious meeting at a restaurant, and when he even hinted that he might do something more extreme, they said they don't want any part of it. They had lives, they had futures, there's no way they were going to be involved in assassinating a U.S. president, and they just said, we're out of here. The only people he had left were three very desperate, impoverished men who he had promised large amounts of money. One of the reasons people thought the South might be involved was because Booth continually said there was going to be a huge payday at the end of this. He had three people left who helped him at the end, Lewis Powell and David Herold, and the only one who was a real killer was Lewis Powell, who did try to kill Seward. George Atzerodt, who was a German immigrant,
right,
he just went and got drunk. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And in the end, I must say, the federal government was fairly restrained. The only people they really executed were people who were directly involved right at the end, with the possible exception of Mary Surratt, who was also executed, and even though people asked that she not be. Only three people were really executed for this crime, except for Mary Surratt. She was also executed.
Anything that you found that you were extremely surprised to find?
The only new thing that I think that I contribute to this is that Booth had promised his mother he wouldn't get involved in the war because she was sure that he was going to get killed or something. And he was at a party in New Orleans, and he was shooting his mouth off, as he usually did, denouncing Lincoln and so on. And unbeknownst to him, there was a Union sergeant who was at this party. And the guy called him a coward to his face and said if he had these convictions, such strong convictions for the Confederacy, he should be wearing a gray uniform and have a rifle on his shoulder. And they almost got in a gunfight and almost killed each other. And the host of the party managed to break them up and everything. And that is what finally led Booth to plan the kidnapping plot. He decided he really had to do something. He couldn't just talk. I don't really see that written very much in this account. I think that's what ultimately led him to take some sort of action. It was the feeling of shame that he was just an actor talking big and hadn't done anything for the war effort at all. And he came up with this idea that he could maybe save the South by kidnapping Lincoln. And then at the end, he decided maybe by shooting Lincoln, he could save the South. He could buy enough time for the Confederacy to regroup and live to fight another day. Fortunately, that didn't happen. The end of the war occurred as planned. That was one new thing I didn't know.
Fascinating. It really is. I urge everybody to get this. If they want to know, and I always say this, in order to know what history is, you have to read it. That's the only way that you can understand what's happened in the past, how you handle the present and the future. And this book is really one that is a must-read. What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. It's available right now in hardcover. And our guest has been its author, Robert Hutchinson. Robert, thank you for joining us. You are welcome here anytime, my friend. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
What is fascinating that after 155 years, we still have this massive interest in the Lincoln assassination. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. President Biden's inability to secure the southern border is leading to the deaths of American children as drug cartels take advantage of the nation's vulnerability. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, is in Mission, Texas, as Operation Lone Star gets underway.
So wherever it is they are going in the United States, and as you said, all the time, the cartel gets richer. They are making millions of dollars every week. This needs to stop.
Operation Lone Star has Texas Department of Public Safety troopers assigned to the Texas-Mexico border working to crack down on human trafficking. Democrat California Governor Gavin Newsom admits in a recent article published by the LA Times that his 12-year-old daughter has not yet received the vaccine despite being qualified. This is USA Radio News.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
And we are back live nationwide and around the world. You're listening to Ron Sedgy today, and you're listening to the music from the Big Valley, one of the stars of that great legendary television show. And our next guest is not only one of the most beautiful women in the world, but one of the most talented, and she's lived such a full life, and it's so nice to have her. She's quite a lady. She, of course, has been around since she was a minor child, just a child, nominated for an Emmy, a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, five People's Choice Awards in Broadway. Joining us right now, formerly of Dynasty and Big Valley, the beautiful, see, I'm already tang-tangled, Linda Evans. Hi, Linda. How are you, dear?
Yeah, I'm great after that introduction. My goodness, who can live up to that?
But you see, I always say that when you're telling the truth, it's easy, okay? And when I said all those things, I've been doing this a few years, I normally don't get stumbling over my tongue, but when you're talking to someone as talented and beautiful as you, it's easy to describe and it's difficult to explain.
Sweet.
Well, congratulations on this new book called Recipes for Life, My Memories. Linda, I have to tell you that I am not, as I told you before I went on the air, a chef. I could screw up toast. All right? Believe me, when I love to eat. My wife's a great cook, but I'm clueless. All right? I read this book because you have done something so unique in this book of recipes that in all the years that I've been interviewing people and talking about biographies, autobiographies, and recipe books, you have tied stories to the recipes, and that is so unique that even a schmo like me in the kitchen love this book.
You just made my day by saying that. I'm so appreciative. It took me almost 4 years to do it because I just wanted exactly what you said, someone like you, that even if they didn't want to cook, that they could read it and really love it, so that I could just have, if people loved recipes and didn't want to read about my life, they could just get it.
Right.
So exactly. It worked. I'm so pleased to know it worked. Thank you so much.
Well, I mean it. The other night, we were at a function, a cocktail party, and I was talking about the book, and my wife says, you've never read a recipe book. And I said, I'm actually going into 2.5 teaspoons of this before I can get to the next story. And you know what a life you have led. I mean, you have worked with everybody. You've been with the White House, met the Pope. I mean, you have been through ups and downs, and you talk about it warts and all in this book.
Exactly. I wanted to be really, really honest, and I wanted to get to all the points of my life and share with people, quite frankly, what it's like. People think because you're a television star that you've got this perfect life, that, you know, success and money and fame sort of make you different than everybody else. And I really wanted people to know what goes on in our lives, just like with yours.
I think that's what brings people in, because nobody could picture Linda Evans looking nothing but beautiful and ready to go on stage or on camera. And you talk about running to one room to another in your pajamas to have your hair made up. You tell
and my insecurities and fears. Every woman has them, you know. There's nobody born without them. They just maybe cover them better than other people. But I wanted to be honest with it. And I also felt really fortunate that I knew these incredible people like John Wayne, who would give me his recipes and things like that, that I could share truly fabulous things that people can make at home for themselves. You know, it's hard times and people don't have a lot of money.
I really am in awe of how you talk so candidly about your marriages and your loves And, you know, people like Rock Hudson, who you're on Dynasty with, and currently now with the composer Yanni, a tremendous talent, as you would know. And you're friends with legends, Barbara Stanwyck, John Wayne, as you mentioned, Tony Curtis. These are all people that were in and out of your home.
Right, and I feel fortunate to have known them, and I'm grateful to share all of these things with people. We're 77 million of us baby boomers here. We got a lot to do, a lot to say, and I think it's wonderful because we've got such medical assistance from doctors. I mean, we're going to stay alive a long time.
Yes.
And what are we going to do for the rest of our lives if we just don't reinvent ourselves and find something new to do? And that's why I'm hoping that people will get encouraged to know we don't retire. Maybe we stop doing what we've done, you know, all our lives because we're bored with it. But we could do something else that would be equally stimulating and exciting.
I think I'm in love with you because I actually have that same philosophy. I had a brother that retired at 62, and I was saying the other day, I said, what do you do? What do you do when you retire at 62? This is not like what I do. This is not heavy lifting, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And do something else, fine. But to do nothing, I wouldn't be able to do that. And boy, I tell you, you have really reinvented yourself like crazy over the years.
Well, you know, I have a few times, and I think that we all ought to just get into the habit of doing that. And I think that what's wonderful is for us to inspire each other and to encourage each other to do this kind of thing, you know? Because what are we going to do with the rest of our lives if we're not doing this kind of stuff?
No, that's right. By the way, I would like to tell everybody that not only is this format to this book, Linda Evans, Recipes for Life, My Memories, is unique, as we alluded to before, but great color pictures in here, Linda.
Oh, yeah. I had a personal collection of so many photos, and it took me several years to get permissions to use these. Some of them never seen before. That's why I wanted moments with photos, some recipes put in and out of it. I'm quite pleased to hear your response because it's exactly what I had hoped people would feel.
My only question is, have you ever taken a bad picture? Because, boy, from the pictures in here, it doesn't look like it.
Hey, you think I'm going to put a lousy picture of myself in my book? I'm smarter than that.
Kind of a car buff, too. I like the parts where you talk about going into your dream car. I'm a car fanatic myself. There's so much in here that is so unique, flying with the Blue Angels and having lunch, you know, with Richard Burton with his tumblers of vodka. And, I mean, it just never ends. Just when you think that there's something missing in your life, you turn the page, and not only is there a recipe, but there's another dimension of your life.
Right, and I wanted to share with people the behind the scenes in Dynasty with John and everybody, the fun we had when we were, you know, when we weren't on camera, and the outrageousness of what we went through. You know, having a career like this and meeting people, and Steve McQueen, my God, what a joy to work with him and watch him, and then, you know, for him to do the things that he's done for me, and it's just Kenny Rogers. I mean, how good does it get? You work with somebody like him, and he has the pizza delivered to your room at night because he knows you're an equal fanatic of pizza as he was.
Yes, unbelievable. And when you think about John Wayne giving you his very special Duke's crab dip. I mean, when you think of the Duke, you don't think of his crab dip. You know what I'm saying?
No, but he liked to eat.
Yeah.
He liked to drink, and he drank tequila with a worm.
Oh, yeah.
I had never seen that before. I was like, oh, my God, are we serious? But, hey, it was great time spent with people that, you know, are no longer here. Barbara Stanwyck, my God, for her to not only to work with her for the years that I got to work with her, but when my mom passed, she put her arm around me and said, I'll be your mom now, and took care of me and was just there for me. I mean, she'd call me up. She'd say, okay, Audra. She called me Audra all my life, no matter what. I was Audra till the day she died. Never Linda. Never called me Linda ever. And she was so thrilled when I got Dynasty. She says, now you're wearing the clothes I like. You know, now you look good. And she called me up. I like that show where you did that thing.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I kind of like what you wore there on the Big Valley. I had my own illusions about that, believe me.
You know, that was Nolan Miller, too. He did the clothes even then. My God. I mean, talk about.
No, he was terrific. Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, Linda, I know that you are on a horrendously busy schedule, but if you ever get the time to come back with us, I would love to have you. Certainly if you're down in Orlando, I'd love to have you as a guest here at Universal Studios. You're not only beautiful, but talented and a nice, nice lady. And the book is called Linda Evans, Recipes for a Life, My Memories. And the nice part about it is, as Linda and I discussed, this is a book of memories and recipes, so it reaches everybody. You've done a heck of a job here.
Oh, thank you. I will definitely see you if I come to Orlando.
Oh, that'd be great. And keep that baby boomer spirit up, Linda.
Okay. I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Okay.
The beautiful Linda Evans has been our guest. What a classy lady and sensational looks and a remarkable career. And her new book is out right now. We're going to pause for a second. We'll be back with more. Live all across the nation and around the world, you're listening to Ron Segi Today.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I helped thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
the USA and around the world. You are listening to Ron Segi Today, and we're going to be talking about a subject that I think is extremely important, and I have a lot of opinions on this that's in favor of our guest, because I think there is a massive lack in tradesmen. And joining us right now is a gentleman who is a tradesman. He's also the host of his own popular YouTube building channel. He is the founder of Rural Renovators. Joining us right now is Kyle Stuffenhorst. Hi, Kyle. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Ron. I appreciate it.
The reason that I am anxious to talk to you about this is because the actor John Ratzenberger was on our show talking about the lack of tradesmen. Everybody wants to sit behind the big desk and be the boss. And as a result of that, we are not having the tradesmen that we need. It's the backbone of the country. The plumbers, the carpenters, the roofers, the people who put down the cement, the people that weld. And this is something that you have addressed, because over 430,000 open construction jobs in the United States alone exist, and seems like nobody wants to work.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I understand it. I mean, it's a great thing to do. It's very fulfilling, and there is money to be made.
Well, the thing about it is that I think, as I mentioned in the introduction, everybody wants to be in the office with the, you know, fancy surroundings and everything else. And this is really and truly the backbone of our country, and it's so difficult to get people to go out and do manual labor. Now, October is Maker Month, and tell us your own personal story, because you had a 9-to-5 job that you decided, hey, I don't want to do this anymore.
You know, I did think, because I was growing up in a time where I think everybody was told you went to college and you went and got that office job, and I pursued that. I did it for a couple years after college. I got a computer science degree, you know, because computers were where the money was.
Right.
And yes, I probably could have made some good money, but there was not the fulfillment. So what happened in my life was, ironically, I bought a house that needed to be remodeled, and I just fell in love with it. I loved doing something with my hands that went from something to nothing, and it was all based on my own ability.
I think it's important to note, though, here too, Kyle, is that, and I did the same thing. I went to college for all of the degrees and everything else, and I think a lot of times people think, I'm not handy. I mean, I'm one of those people. But you really weren't either. You kind of got into it by, you know, just learning the trade. I don't think, from my understanding, that you woke up one day and said, boy, I'm really good at crafts.
No, in fact, I really had no training. I had my dad was always a handy guy, and so he, you know, he shared with me what he knew, but I watched a lot of This Old House. I read magazines, and it's just, it became a passion for me, and I just dived into learning as much as I could, which led to me starting my business. And 14 years later, you know, or really about 5 years ago, I started trying to share that with everybody else.
Yeah, there was an extremely large emphasis on college degrees when I was growing up. And in fact, I even put that kind of thing in the minds of my two sons. You know, got to go to college. And it thought at some point that if you didn't go to college, and not putting down college by no means, but if you didn't go to college, you know, you were going to end up on Lonely Street. And that's not the case. Now, this is a crucial part of the American workforce. What are some of the misconceptions about this kind of labor force? Skilled workers, we're talking about.
Skilled workers have a misconception of being, you know, uneducated, low paying, and I think overall, like, if you maybe didn't make it in your day to day, you resorted to being a skilled worker, whether that's on a job site, whether that's in a factory. And those are just the wrong misconceptions to have. I think there's a lot of technical aspects to these jobs now. There's good money to be made, and you need to be an educated person to really succeed in the skilled trade still.
Yeah, I think you're right. And when you talk about low pay, boy, I tell you, tell that to my plumber and the guy that fixes my air conditioner. You know, he makes out pretty well when he comes to my house. I don't think the low pay is a stigma anymore when you think about it, because the demand for these skilled workers is so high. Now, tell us about Black & Decker. Now, they're launching a 5-year, $25 million commitment to train more than 3 million skilled trade workers. That's great.
Yeah, I think, you know, it all starts with, you know, this month is Maker Month, and, you know, that's a great time to launch this, because it's, that month is about bringing awareness to that, you know, detrimental shortage that we have. It's about thanking the people that are makers. And so with Stanley Black & Decker, they've committed that money, and it's really to help fund the vocational skills and retraining programs, you know, in the construction and manufacturing, because without it, life as we know it ceases to exist. Everything we do or everywhere we go, the house we live in, the car we drive in, those were made by skilled workers.
Tell us about the Empower Makers.
So Empower Makers, it's actually a website. So if you go to empowermakers.com, that is where you can find more information about this initiative by Stanley Black & Decker, but also for those, vocational schools or those non-for-profits, the people that are trying to empower the workforce, they can go there and apply for a grant and get a chunk of that $25 million.
Tell me about how that grant works, because I think that is a fantastic dimension to this.
Well, I think it's quite simple. It's there for the people that are trying to empower the workforce. And, it's set aside over the next 5 years up to $25 million. And the big goal here is to, empower about 3 million people. And with a shortage of over 10 million worldwide manufacturing jobs and 430,000 construction jobs in the U.S. alone, it's a good start, but we gotta keep with education and we gotta keep teaching people that these are great career paths.
So let's say somebody's listening to us right now, and hopefully there are many that want to get into this, but they have the opinion that you and I had early on. We're just not a do-it-yourself kind of person. How do you learn a trade?
Well, I think, there's a lot of schools out there. There's obviously other tradespeople who would love to take somebody under their wing because they need people to work for them and they can learn on the job. But just in general, if somebody out there has some sort of a passion to work with their hands and they want to pursue that passion, by all means do it. It's not a negative thing. There is money to be made. And more importantly, in my life, it's very fulfilling. It's rewarding to see what you accomplish.
You bring up a very valid point, too, because in my own little world where I don't know how to do anything, when I do accomplish something that is a handiwork around the house, you're proud of it. It's like creating an artistic design or a painted a picture, or you have accomplished something. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The best part of my job is when I usually show up to a new job to a pile of material, but when I leave that job, yes, getting paid is great, and don't get me wrong, I got to get paid. It's my livelihood.
Sure.
But seeing the fruits of your labor, seeing what you created, is by all means the best feeling.
Where can we go for more information on this, Kyle?
Empowermakers.com. That's where you're going to go. All the information's there, the grant application and everything.
Hey, that's terrific. I am so glad you and I talked today because it is very important. And I just want to tell everyone, and I'm sure that you are going to confirm this, that if you go out and become a tradesman, that is a wonderful occupation, and we need tradesmen. It's crucial as part of the American workforce. Kyle, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to your return.
Thanks for having me on, Ron.
Thank you. Kyle Steffenhorst has been our guest, and he is really on the money when it comes to this need for good tradesmen or tradeswomen or tradespeople, whatever the case may be. It's very important in our economy. And there's more to come live with Ron Sedgie today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
And considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
That's a wrap with Ron Sedgie today. I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the past 2 hours. And our guests include the great Yanni, also movie producer David Tobin, the original member still working with the group of the fabulous Spinners, Henry Frombaugh, Mike Wright, Richard Hutchinson, about his book that he has out right now about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, actress Linda Evans, and Kyle Stumpenhorst. Well, we'll be looking for your company come next week when we're going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgie today. Till then, I'm Ron Sedgie, hoping that you have blue skies and green lights.